Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th, with six race events including the full and half marathons, marathon relay, 5K, and more. Register at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Later in the hour, the mayor of Iowa City will be joining us on this program, Jim Throgmorton, also council member Bruce Teague of Iowa City. I don't know if you caught this. Earlier this summer, the city of Iowa City declared a climate crisis. So we'll ask, what can one city do to act locally in battling a global problem? That later in the program. But first, with the start of the new academic year, we'd like to check in with university and college presidents. We'll be doing that in the coming days and weeks to talk about the challenges that they're facing in higher education and at their specific universities and colleges. Joining me today, Mark Nook, president of the University of Northern Iowa. He began serving as president of UNI in 2017. President Nook is in our Cedar Falls studio. Welcome back to our program, Mark Nook.
Thank you, Ben. It's a pleasure to be with you again today.
I want to reach out to our listeners. If you have any questions for President Nook about UNI specifically or higher education in general, I'm sure he'd be glad to field the question. 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100, or email us rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Well, let's talk about what we're seeing as a top challenge that you're facing, lower enrollment at UNI, I'm reading, since the 1970s, the lowest it's been since the 1970s. I'm looking at some state auditor numbers released, in fact, just today, that go through the 2017-2018 academic year. Give us the enrollment numbers you see now for the current year.
We don't have the current numbers yet. We'll have our final census. We will actually know what our enrollments are about the 10th class day. So we don't really know what those enrollments will be until that time. We do know that we're expecting to be down and somewhere around 10-6 is what we've planned for throughout our budgeting process.
10,600?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so that, but last year's enrollment, 2017-2018, was 9,535. So you're planning for, you budgeted for an enrollment of 1,000 more than you had last year.
Do
you
know? No.
Sorry, not understanding that right.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
The number last year, what you have there is the number for our undergraduates, and I'm talking about the total enrollment.
Mm-hmm.
Our enrollment last year for 18-19 was 11,212.
Okay.
And we're expecting to be in and around 10,006 next this coming year.
Yep. So, okay. So a little less than 1,000. So is that what, 700, 800?
Somewhere between 600 and 800 down. Yeah.
600 and 800. I mean, well, what's causing this dip?
I think there's several things. One, it's one thing that we're seeing across the higher education sector in Iowa. From 2010 to 2017, we've seen a loss of 57,000 higher education students in this state, down about 18%. Over that same period, we're down about 10%. I think several things are driving that. One of them is this really hot economy. As the unemployment rate goes down, more and more traditional age students, and especially the non-traditional students, have opportunities for good jobs at good pay, and they're taking advantage of that, as they well should. And that puts pressure on especially universities like UNI, our community colleges, and many of our private colleges. It doesn't have the same impact on many of the research institutions across the country, but it certainly has impacted us and many other regional comprehensives and other institutions in the state. I think we also, as an institution, need to be paying more attention to the way we market and brand ourselves, our communications with people, helping them understand everything that we do, the quality of our programs in education and business, sciences, and the performing arts, and really being able to get our message out there because it is so competitive. There, with the downturn, everybody's trying to find all the students they can. And so it's important to be extremely competitive with your marketing and branding and extremely competitive with your price point as well, the tuition and fees that you charge.
Mm-hmm. When you look at the two other public universities in Iowa, ISU and the U of I, is this, in your words, hot economy affecting their enrollment numbers similarly?
It generally doesn't affect the large Research One institutions and the elite privates the way it does the community colleges, the regionals, and the smaller privates. They are generally attracting students that are more focused on getting the education. They know they want to go to the university, and it doesn't matter what the economy's like. They're going to get into those programs. But the rest of us have a larger portion of our students who would like to go to college, but you know, as they get these other opportunities, especially for a decent job at decent pay, they decide to do that and put their education off for a while.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned branding. To look at your branding now, UNI has long been known as a teacher's college. In fact, that was part of its original name. Is that a longer-term vision for UNI to remain known as a teacher's college, or is this talk of branding, this action towards branding, an effort to diversify?
You know, I think the thing we want to be clear on is we'll never walk away from our foundation as being the place that Iowa students come to get a great education, to be teachers and our teacher development. About 25% of the teachers that are teaching in the state of Iowa have UNI credentials, and that's something we're extremely proud of and not something that we will ever walk away from. We have extremely strong programs in other areas, and some of those are well known, like our accounting program, our finance and real estate programs. And some of them are really strong but less well known, like our programs in both the natural and social sciences. I think of what we do in biochemistry and chemistry and the number of students that we place into medical schools, whether it's the University of Iowa or other places, the number of students we place into law school, and then also the quality of our programs, especially in the performing arts, which has such a positive impact on the quality of life here in the Cedar Valley and all of northeastern Iowa.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit more about that factor in perhaps figuring into the lower enrollment, 600 to 800 less than last year. How much do you put in that corner in terms of, in addition to the hot economy, perhaps the branding or rebranding, a need of rebranding?
You know, it's always hard to tell exactly how these things break down, but clearly we want to do a better job of getting our name out and having some clear talking points about what we have to offer, the quality of the education that's here, the opportunity that we offer students from around the state and neighboring states to get a great education, really in just about any field that you want to major in or choose to go into. So getting that message out is really important to us. And as I came to the state and took this job on and traveled around the state and talked to people, it was clear that we were known as for what we do in teacher development, what we do in accounting and finance, but not as well known in many of our other really high quality programs, like communication disorders and speech pathology, our physics program, biology program, our technologies. Those sorts of things weren't really well known. And so we need to make sure that people understand the quality of those programs.
Mm-hmm. If I understand this right, the UNI froze tuition rates in the fall. That was also in hopes of remaining competitive in terms of enrollment. Now we have less enrollment than last year at UNI. What budgetary challenges does lower enrollment present to you as president?
Yeah, there's always some impact on our budget. This tuition freeze was something that we worked, you know, carefully with the Board of Regents and also legislature and the governor's office. We asked for some additional funds from the state for state appropriations so that we could hold our tuition level and become more competitive in our tuition and fees. As I said earlier, in this really tight market, it's really important that we have our price point right, and that's our tuition and fees. And so we need to be more competitive there. So if we can hold it steady for this year, next year, our real tuition plan that we submitted to the Regents was to hold our tuition flat for about 5 years reach a point then that we're much, much more competitive. It's very important to us to have that price point right when the market for higher education is as competitive as it is.
Mm-hmm. When you have 600 to 800 fewer students enrolled this year than last year, you have less revenue, of course, less tuition. How are you dealing with that? What are you cutting?
Yeah, we do have a little bit less. We really saw it coming ahead of time and set our budget up to do that. We made some changes in classes, but we have fewer students. And what we really did was try to manage our classrooms better. What we have seen is that we have a fair number of classes with, the number of students in there between 0 and 20 students. We will have some of those that will move closer to something over 20 seats or 20 students per classroom. We also took many of our classes that were between 40 or higher and moved them into that 20 to 40 range as well. So we really tried to manage our classrooms so that our classroom size doesn't go up, but we bring some of the really small classes up a little bit, become a little more efficient there, and also make sure that our students are in, if we can at all, get them into a classroom between 20 and 40, because we know they'll have a better interaction with faculty, with other students, and really manage around those. Those have been the biggest changes. There's always a few things around the edge that you look for, find some efficiencies in the way we operate facilities, those sorts of things. One of the things that has helped is as we renovated our College of Education building, the Schindler building, with that renovation, we had a 55% decrease in our utility bills, saving well over $200,000 a year. So those are all things that really help when you start to look at making these adjustments to fit the revenues that we have, the number of students that we have.
Mm-hmm. What about faculty? Are there cuts there because of this?
There haven't been cuts to our tenured faculty, to our permanent faculty. We have had some adjunct faculty and term faculty that we haven't hired back for the year. Those are things that have made this a little bit easier to handle as well. But we certainly haven't had to do anything with our permanent tenure track faculty.
Mm-hmm. I've heard the term used, strategic approach to faculty hiring. Is that what you mean there?
We're always careful with how we're hiring faculty, whether the budget's going up or going down. We want to make sure that we're hiring faculty into the programs where we have the growth of students and where we have growth in the state for the graduates from those programs. So we are always managing those regardless of what the budget outlook is. And that was true this year. So where we knew that we were going to be able to operate with a little bit smaller number of people teaching those courses, we were able to make some shifts in our part-time faculty hiring and be able to handle the changes.
Mm-hmm. With these changes to save on the budget, were certain colleges or departments hit harder than others? How did you spread out the pain, even though it's not a great deal of pain?
Yeah, we always do this strategically. We never do it across the board. Doing it across the board always creates real problems because some departments and programs are growing and others, as the enrollment changes, we'll see their enrollments going down. And so we look at those programs where we have seen trends in decreases in the enrollment and make the changes there as opposed to the ones that are growing and strong.
Mm-hmm. So which departments would be those specifically that are not growing, that are not in the strong category?
I don't have the list off the top of my head at this time.
Mm-hmm. So you can't say anything about those departments?
No. Not right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If you've just joined us, Mark Nook is my guest for this first half hour, the president of the University of Northern Iowa. We like to check in with university presidents, college presidents here in Iowa at the start of the new academic year. And President Nook is first up to bat on River to River anyway. Back to this question, when we look at this enrollment question, I know in past years, UNI's business model, so to speak, has been looked at. What does this tell us when we look at enrollment, not just from last year to this year, but over previous years? What does this tell us about UNI's business model? Does it work? Will it work into the future? Also, I understand the branding question, but also having 90% of your students come from Iowa when students from outside of Iowa would pay far higher tuition, as they do it in greater numbers at the University of Iowa and ISU.
That's a great question, and it's one that's being asked across this country. And I think the regional comprehensives really do provide a great service to their states and to their regions. And UNI isn't any different. Our role is a little different than many others in that we serve the entire state. We're the only regional comprehensive in the state of Iowa. Most other states have multiple regional comprehensives. So we have a real commitment through our mission, through the way that we were originally chartered to serve the entire state and serve the state first. And we take that very seriously. 90% of our students do come from the state of Iowa, but 85% of our graduates take their first job back in the state of Iowa. So we really are the institution that's educating Iowans for Iowa, and we'll continue to do that first. We do are looking at trying to grow the number of students that come from out of state, but not at the expense of what we're going to continue to do for those students here in the state. We want to continue to take the same percentage of Iowa's high school graduating class as we always have. In fact, we'd like to grow it a little bit, but we do have room to look out of state. And our real reason for doing that is the single biggest problem facing the state of Iowa right now economically is that we have 20,000 more job openings than we have unemployed people in this state. One of the ways to solve that is to bring people into this state from out of state. And what we know is that 50% of the students that come to UNI from outside of the state of Iowa that graduate from UNI take their first job and stay in the state of Iowa. That number is an incredible number. So it's one of the things that the legislature and the regents have said, you know, we want to support that in any way we can. And we've worked to keep our tuition as close to the cost to educate those students as possible, because it's important for us to have an impact on Iowa's future economy, current economy, by bringing workers in to meet the workforce demands that are occurring here in the state right now.
Mm-hmm. What are you seeing in terms of funding, perhaps conversation with legislators or the Board of Regents under President Michael Richards going forward? Solid funding promises, what are you seeing and hearing there?
Yeah, promises are always hard to talk about into the future, especially with as flexible as budgets are and things. We don't know where tax receipts and things of that sort will go. The regents have been very supportive of the five-year tuition plan we put together, which was also included a five-year budget model, and trying to get a separation between our tuition in Iowa and Iowa State's of about $2,500 without us having to back up on quality at all. That is our first principle in managing budgets and managing enrollment. First and foremost, protect quality. And so that's what we've been working on, and the regents accept that and have been pushing to try to help us get the funds we need to protect the quality and to grow our enrollment and to get our tuition and fees price point where it'll be more effective for us in recruiting students.
Mm-hmm. We have just a few more minutes with President Mark Nook of the University of Northern Iowa. Let's go to our phones. Steve is calling from south of Des Moines. Steve, not much time, but welcome to the program. What's your question for President Nook?
Well, I've often thought that there should be more business, college, and possibly government partnership to train high-tech manufacturing individuals, but I question whether or not UNI, being a university, is if that would fit into their long-term plans to get into that kind of a program where, you know, it's not directed towards a four-year degree, but directed more towards a high-end technical degree that can help with, you know, job security for people with less education.
Mm-hmm. Steve, great question from south of Des Moines. Thanks for calling in. President Nook.
Steve, again, thanks very much for that question. It really is something we're already doing. We've got not only a Department of Technology, but we run the Metal Casting Center and the Additive Manufacturing Center here at the University of Northern Iowa. Inside technology, our technology program, we have a degree in construction management. We have electrical engineering technology, graphic design, graphic technologies. And through all of those programs, we're working with the high-tech sector of the state of Iowa. Our metal casting center works closely with the foundries in the state, and as does the additive manufacturing center. We've got the second largest 3D printer in North America sitting on our campus, and we're working with the foundries in particular to help them with their metal castings and what 3D printers can do for the casting industries. So we've been a very strong partner in helping business and industries by putting out the types of graduates at the four-year that know how to manage those kinds of plants, know how to operate those kinds of plants, are engaged in the design and the technologies that are used in those kinds of facilities, and continue to grow Iowa's manufacturing and technology economy. We also have several resources through the business and community services that work with local businesses, industries, and communities to help them with their business plans and with their strategic plans so that they can become more effective and more profitable in the current economy.
We have a couple minutes left. President Nook, what are you most excited about this coming year, aside from the things we've already spoken about?
You know, it's always exciting to welcome back the new students and see where things are going to go. Taking on challenges like we have in our enrollment is something that, you know, is always good for a university to take on. There's always so many things that come out during a year. You know, the successes that we have, you just look for them. Last year, we had a Goldwater scholar who, you know, was cited for the work, that the research he's done in physics and biochemistry. Those things will continue to happen. And I always look forward to what is it that's going to pop next? What are our students going to do? What are our faculty and staff going to do? And that's the excitement of the opening of a new year.
Mm-hmm. Any physical changes, renovations, building going on UNI's campus that you're excited about?
Yeah, we've renovated one of our residence halls. It looks great inside. I got a tour of it the other day, really upgraded the finishes and the quality of the residence hall. We're creating a new space for our admissions program as well, where we can welcome students to campus. We did take down one of our old residence halls that was been around for a long time. So we're kind of getting that converted into a beautiful green space on campus as well. So, you know, there's always something going on, and it is, you know, great to be on this campus because it is such a beautiful place. Students, prospective students, their parents always talk about how gorgeous the campus is and how easy it is to get around on this mm-hmm. campus.
Mm-hmm. Lastly, let's tie it into, of course, current politics, the political climate in our country. We've been hearing talk on other campuses about problems of freedom of expression on campus. How is the political climate, the extreme partisanship we have in this country, impacting higher ed on your campus at all?
It hasn't come up in big ways. Of course, we always have conversations. We want to engage in those conversations. It's always a big thing on a campus to make sure that we're assuring freedom of speech and freedom of expression, making sure people have opportunities to express themselves, but do it in a way that respects other people's opinions and beliefs. So we haven't had major issues around it. But we always try to continue to work with students and faculty and staff so that they understand how to engage in these types of conversations, even when they disagree a great deal with someone else.
Okay, Mark Nook, president of the University of Northern Iowa, thank you for coming into our Cedar Falls studio. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Ben. I appreciate it.
Coming up after a short break, I'll talk with the mayor of Iowa City, Jim Throgmorton, also council member in Iowa City, Bruce Teague, about that city's declaration of a climate crisis, what it means for that community, and what one city can do to tackle a global problem. We'll talk about that after a short break. I'm Ben Kiefer. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. ¶¶